Welcome to Township's Daily News Bits.
With Holly Bailey
and Jim Ferrier, bringing you the news and events that matter to townshippers.
Thanks to the Local Journalism Initiative funded by the Government of Canada.
The Brome County Historical Society's Marion Phelps Memorial Lecture Series is back for 2026 with more of Jim Manson's popular history talks. The lectures take place on Saturdays at 1 p.m. in the Brome Lake Community Center at 270 Victoria in Knowlton. Part one of the series is Significant Individuals in the History of the Eastern Townships. The January 10th lecture is titled Bolton's Nicholas Austin, Loyalist, Pacifist, or Both. The book The American Loyalists by Lorenzo Sabin depicted Loyalists as persecuted minority, little different from Americans who supported the Revolution, except in their politics, an unpopular idea at the time. One Loyalist that he mentioned was Nicholas Austin of New Hampshire, who later led the first settlers in Bolton Townships. But Austin was a Quaker, and Quakers are against war, and some of his descendants claim he was simply a pacifist and not a Loyalist. Whichever it is, Austin became a seminal figure in the settlement of the Eastern Townships. Manson describes Austin's departure for the Eastern Townships following a colorful career that kept him in the U.S. well after American independence. The January 17th lecture is titled A Man of His Time, Joseph Manson's Odyssey from Mansonville to the Dakotas via the United States Civil War. In 1904, Joseph Manson, then aged 84 and living in a home for U.S. Civil War veterans in Iowa, began a correspondence with his nephew, David Ames Manson, former member of Parliament for Brome. David Manson would have heard of his uncle's experiences during the U.S. Civil War from members of his family, and was an enthusiastic supporter of Reverend Ernest Manley Taylor's efforts to produce a comprehensive history of Brome County. David Manson provided Reverend Taylor with some remarkable letters from his uncle, describing the earliest days of Brome County, Potton Township, and the village of Mansonville. The lecture describes Joseph Manson's youth growing up in Potton. The lecture on January 31st is titled Rural Education, The Experiences of Female Teachers in the One-Room Schoolhouses of Eastern Townships between 1916 and 1945. The turn of the 20th century was a transformative period in the history of education in Protestant Quebec. The Protestant Committee of the Council of Public Instruction was convinced that the curriculum and instruction in English schools had to be modernized, especially in rural areas. Residents of Brome County, who wished to retain their one-room schoolhouses, turned to their local MP, Sidney Arthur Fisher, who was subsequently appointed to a cabinet post in the Liberal government of Sir Wilfrid Laurier. It was several years before Fisher concluded that one-room schoolhouses in Brome County should be retained, since he had initially welcomed consolidation. The lecture traces the before and after of this issue as the Eastern Townships grew and modernized. Part two of the lecture series is a comparison of the unequal development of various regions in the Eastern Townships of Quebec. The lecture on February 14th is titled Shared Interests, Eastern Townships Resource Development and the Railway Revolution in the Region between 1870 and 1900. Historian Peter Southam argues that the first golden age of industrial expansion in the region occurred during the second half of the 19th century. He notes, by the 1890s, the region boasted an important resource processing sector and a varied textile manufacturing sector. He also notes that the townships were producing a high proportion of Quebec's total industrial output. This development was enabled by the township's strength in primary industries, forestry, mining, and agriculture. Eastern Township's geographer Derek Brooks notes the important role played by the railway network in facilitating this growth. Manson's lecture follows the development of several Eastern Townships industries through this period. The February 21st lecture is titled A Fundamental Transformation, Mary, Moore, and the Evolution of Magog by the End of the 19th Century. The growth of Magog from a small settlement on Lake Memphremagog in 1800 to an important industrial center 100 years later was largely due to the efforts of a few visionaries led by Ralph Mary III, his grandson, Ralph Mary V, and entrepreneur A.H. Moore. The town's social and cultural development was also influenced by the Marys, including Ralph Mary IV, the talented and intriguing, if somewhat erratic, son of Ralph Mary III. Ralph Mary IV bought the mills and dam constructed by Nicholas Austin at what was then known as the Outlet. He later built a wool carding mill, laying the foundation for the textile industry that would come to characterize Magog. Manson documents the Mary family's impact on the Magog area. The final lectures on February 28th and is titled Underdevelopment or an Agrarian Oasis, The Uniqueness of Brome County, 1900 to 1950. On the eve of World War I, the Eastern Townships was described as a drowsy countryside of placid farms. By mid-century, that description no longer applied. The emergence of Southern Canada Power and Shawinigan Water and Power, plus improved infrastructure, created important urban and industrial centers in the region. By 1939, more than 25,000 workers were employed in Eastern Townships industries, 14,000 in the textile industry alone. Textiles spurred the expansion of towns and cities like Sherbrooke, Drummondville, Granby, Farnham, Magog, and Cowansville. Resource industries like pulp and paper and asbestos contributed to the region's development. Yet a study of Brome County in 1952 pointed out that the district of Brome is essentially a farming area. Little changed since 1934, when more than 80% of residents were employed in agriculture. Manson traces the development of the region. For more information on the Marion Phelps Memorial Lecture Series, call 450-243-6782 or go to bromemuseum.com.
Listening to the Township's Daily News Bits here on 99.1 FM.
Brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, funded by the Government of Canada.